evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. You know I love being here with you, talking with you, sharing information. I'll give some information to you, and you can call me back and share some with me, and we can have a grand time. I don't know if you have signed up for the Father God messages. And you really need to if you haven't signed up for it. Our website, www.2012countdown.com, is a remarkable website. And I work with Richard Presser, and the information there is so remarkable. Do go and take a look around. We have been channeling a Father God series, and the information that Father God gives us is just so fascinating. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was something that Father God, you might say, gave us information on the distinction between intuition or the intuitive self and the higher self. And also adding the difference between the intuitive self and the egoic self. And when you sign up for at that website, all of these messages we send out to people on an ongoing basis, and we really do send out a lot of information. People that we work with and channel, such as the Templars, such as Mother Mary, all of the new moons, the full moon, they give us information as to what energies surround that and how we can use them. Before I get into this information about the intuition or the intuitive self, it reminded me of a message that Father God gave us during the new moon, which wasn't too long ago. And what he said was something very fascinating, is that each month the energies that come in on the full moon are different, of course, as you might imagine. But the new moon is like a seed that you plant. And that is the time to bring forth the thoughts of what you want to manifest that month. And so you concentrate on what you want to manifest during that month, and you think about it during the new moon, and you imagine what you desire, what you want to manifest. And then it works on the inner planes, and it is the time of the full moon that blossoms, you might say. And I found that very fascinating. That's on the website, and it was a message that Father God gave us before he gave this one. And Richard and I were talking about this question, the distinction between the intuitive self and the higher self. And what we are finding is that it is very important to work with your intuition. And on some of these other calls on the programs, I have discussed how you work with intuition, and I'm going to just touch base with that a little bit. And I'm going to talk about the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain. We know that the brain is divided into quadrants, but I'm just going to talk about the right and the left. And so your intuition and all of your spiritual abilities is prompted through the right side of the brain. And that is devoted to spiritual kinds of information. The left side of the brain is the questioning side. It is the analytical side. So that when we're receiving spiritual information, like our intuition, we wish to intuit something, then it's very important to go with that first answer that you hear, because you're in the right side of the brain. Once you start questioning it, then your thought is going to the left side of the brain, and there it's very confusing because the left side of the brain doesn't understand intuition. It understands what we would say is hard facts, judgment, scientific explanations, and if we start questioning what we get from the right side of the brain, we get confused. And so trust is very important with intuition. And the more times we get right answers from our intuitive promptings and we go with that, that is what builds up trust. And it's interesting because the more you build up trust, the more right answers you get and the easier it is to stay on the right side of the brain. So I wanted to give you a little bit of a thought about how you get this information and how you work with it. And so what Father God said in this message, and this is the last message that he sent out, which is dated May the 15th, and he says that the intuitive self is an aspect of a higher self. However, it is a little bit different in the sense that it carries a much closer connection to the egoic self. And so it's much more in tune with the detailed unfolding of experiences in our dimension. And so it sits with the knowledge of the higher self, but tempers it with the experience of the egoic self in our dimension. And so he says, you can say it's like a real-time monitor, completely aware of and in tune with everything that is unfolding in your experience. This is so important because, in my opinion, from the work that I do with the soul healing conference calls that I have, there is so much doubt with people, and it seems that we always look for somebody else to give us the answers. We want confirmation. We want to understand what's going on in our lives, of course. But instead of being self-empowered, we ask others. We look for other channels where we really need to go within and find the answers ourselves. So, Father God adds that this guides us continuously, where a higher self is less connected in this way. So, as far as the higher self, or we're talking about intuition or the intuitive self, one aspect is guiding us in our everyday, you might say, activities. And it is connected to what is unfolding in our everyday life. And it has the wisdom and ability to communicate with other human beings. You know, I talk about that, about the higher self. This is very fascinating because once you connect to your higher self, one of the things that happens is that your higher self has abilities to speak to other souls. And that's an interesting fact because if we're working with the higher self and we want something to come into our lives, we want to meet a person, we want a connection somehow to some activity or individuals in life, we ask the higher self to bring it to us. Maybe we're looking for someone to connect with to help us in our business or do healing work. And the higher self can speak to other souls and direct them into your awareness. It's fascinating because we have so many aspects that we can get information from. We have our higher self, we have our intuitive self, we have our body. when I work with people and I teach them how to converse with the body, it sounds strange, doesn't it? But we can get answers from our body using our intuitive self, using our intuition. And when people start working with this, they find it so fascinating because our body not only knows what it needs for health, in other words, the kind of food that it requires, whether we're getting the right kinds of nutrients, drinking enough water, or taking the proper supplements, it also is very aware about the people in our lives. It's aware about our mission, because when we came to Earth as this person that we are, our egoic self, our soul brought a physical blueprint, the divine blueprint. And that blueprint is, it's like a history book. We can get so much from our divine blueprint, information. And it is what we really do need to be able to be self-empowered, to be able to get this information, and no one else has to tell us. We get it through our bodies. We get it through our consciousness, connecting with other consciousness. And I've talked about this before. Everything has consciousness. And I have always been fascinated with history, for instance. And in the early, I guess you might say, pre-Christian historical dogma, there were groups of people, we called them pagans, but they had a lot of emblems of what was the green man. And they communicated with trees. I'm talking about the times of the Druids. They communicated with trees. And I used to wonder, how in the world do you communicate with a tree? I know it has consciousness, but this is what they were doing. They were using the right side of the brain. They were connecting with different aspects of nature. And imagine a tree. A tree might, like a giant oak, might have been standing in one place for, my goodness, how long? Hundreds of years. And imagine being able to connect with that consciousness, your consciousness, connecting with the consciousness of the tree and being able to retrieve information from it. What has that tree seen in its life as living in that spot? I'm thinking, oh my goodness, could you have been talking to a tree in Sherwood Forest? Would they know about Robin Hood? My curiosity is just unboundless sometimes. But I remember being in the south of France one time, and there were these beautiful white horses there. And there was a very large corral, and there was a stallion and had his mares in there. I don't know, I guess it was about six mares, maybe seven. And I was a distance away. You know, when you communicate with other consciousness, there is no boundary. There isn't a boundary as far as time, space, distance. And he was over there eating grass, and I started talking to him. And he picked up his head, and he looked at me. He was so curious. I guess there aren't many people that talk to white horses. At least not in that day. And so I talked to him and I talked to him, and it was so fascinating because he listened and he felt not danger, but he had the need to gather up all of his mares and away they went. I guess he thought I was something that might cause some discomfort, or I'm not quite sure, but he turned around and he looked at me and he took his mirrors and off he went. Hearing messages from animals, from your body, from different consciousness. I haven't tried the consciousness of a stone yet. That might be interesting. Or a mountain. What had happened during the long years of its building up and tearing down? I say these things to engage your imagination. The world is boundless. It's only bounded by your curiosity, by your imagination. If you go to my website at www.metatronminutes.com, there is a protocol called the HARA, H-A-R-A protocol. And it is a protocol where we can actually go to Father God and speak to Father God and receive messages, answers from Father God in an intuitive state. You might say, channel Father God. And after we do that in the HARA protocol, we then go down into the center of the earth. And it is so fascinating to go down into the center of the earth and see a crystal Merkaba there spinning around. You might even see on the way up some of the beings beneath the earth that keep the process is going as they're supposed to move. The movement of the plates, the guardians. You might even see Gaia. I see Gaia. When I see Gaia, she's usually holding a bunny in her arm. And you can do all of these things. It's trusting. It's believing. Now, you all are very psychic, much more than what you possibly even consider yourself to be. Do a little test. The next time the telephone rings, ask the question, who's on the other end of the line? Some people know this. They intuitively know who's on the other end of the line, and if you don't, it's a good thing to practice with. Ask yourself when the phone rings, who's on the telephone? And then the first answer that you go with, stay with that. You will hear a prompting. And it's usually right if you go with the first thing that you hear. If you start asking questions about, oh, I don't think they're here this time of year. I think they're on vacation. They're out of town. You've then gone over to the left side of the brain. So, work with that. Work with that a little bit to increase your intuitive powers, because you will. You will increase your intuitive powers. It takes practice. When I say practice, I really think that what it is, it's remembering. We have forgotten. From the fall of Atlantis, we have forgotten so much. And that is because when our awareness, our consciousness, dropped down to a lower dimension, the particles were compacted, and they were compacted in such a manner that it's much more difficult working with things that are compacted than when you move to a higher dimension. So, in a sense, it's a little harder working here. So, give me a call. Tell me what you think. Tell me things that you think of intuitively, and are you right? We have these guidelines. We have these things in the world that we can communicate with, we can get information. For instance, if you're not feeling well, what is the cause of the pain? And you see, if you connect with the body and you mentally go to that place, your body will tell you what is wrong. It's a very powerful tool to use. The body will tell you what to eat. It'll tell you what you need. It's a good idea when you either go to bed at night or you're meditating to scan the body. Look at each place in the body. Does it feel a discomfort of any sort? And if it does, find out what it is. It might be an emotion under that body that needs to be cleared. There is something that the body is telling you, and if you don't pay attention to it, disease can follow. Give us a call here. Our phone number, we're on station one, of course, and the phone number here is 888-815-9756. I'm also finding that a lot of people that have been coming to me for the soul healing readings lived during the time of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. And they are here because they've chosen to be here, as this is a very important time with ascension on the horizon. And they've come, if they're healers, to work here, or if they're not here as healers, they are here to move up into the next higher dimension. But this is a very opportune time. And if you think, perhaps, that you might have lived during the time of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, I have a website that would be very fascinating for you to go and look at. It is called www.iamyeshuareturn.com. And Yeshua and I picked out pictures, and he added comments to these pictures. And he suggests that you look at them, that it will help you to remember this past life. And I have a caller on the line, I believe, and your name, please.
Hi, my name is Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. What can we do for you?
How are you? Well, you had brought up a story about seeing horses in the south of France, and I just wanted to tell you a little story that I had.
I'd love it.
I was over by Rennes Le Chateau.
Oh. Yes.
And a friend of mine from England, she's actually we were both discussing how it would have looked with horses all over the plains area, which is like below Rennes Le Chateau.
And
she had left to go back to England, and I stayed an extra 2 days, and the next day it was all full of these Mustangs all over the place, and it was just amazing. And then when you brought that story up, that brought me back to that place.
Isn't that exciting?
It's great. It really is.
What'd you think of Rennes Le Chateau?
I thought it was fantastic. I love the energy there.
Yeah. It is incredible energy. And the first time that I was there and I went inside of the church, I very quickly went into an altered state. I was wondering how you felt, if you had experienced any of that when you were in the church.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was online and I went through the virtual walkthrough so many times because it was like one of my dreams just to go there. And I had the opportunity actually last October. And when I did walk in, and it was right before the confessional, looking at John the Baptist, it almost felt like something left, almost like I was out of my body.
But you probably were.
But it was so quick. It was just amazing. But I thought it was just the excitement of actually being there. Like I had to pinch myself.
Well, you probably had a lot of excitement about being there, but the energy there is very special. Most people don't really talk about it, but it would be considered also a Black Madonna site. And the energies are very different. In a Black Madonna site, there is a great deal of electromagnetic energy that comes up out of the ground.
Okay.
And for people who see energy, they see it as something dark. They see the magnetic energy. So it is very different because in all of the what they would call the Black Madonna sites, it all has this very heavy magnetic energy that comes up out of the earth, and it is very easy to get into an altered state at these places. So no, I really do believe that what you were feeling was you were actually feeling the energies from from that place. I do believe it.
Okay.
Now when you're there for a little while, the body becomes accustomed to that. And like the first time you go there, I would suspect you really did have an out-of-body experience because the body's not accustomed to those very strong vibrations. But when you're there for a little while, you get accustomed to it and you don't have the same response. Do you work with crystals?
No, I don't.
Well, for those people who do work with crystals, when you have a new crystal and it's very powerful, the first few times that you work with it, it seems to overpower you, almost overwhelm you. And then after you hold it and you work with it, your body attunes to those energies and it doesn't have that effect anymore. That is,
okay.
I would compare the sense of that to that particular location. So you were in a very special place. There is a bench, up from the church is that Magdalene Tor. It is that little building that kind of sits on the almost like on the side of the mountain. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
The Tor de Magdala.
Yeah.
When it's the one on the corner.
Yes, there is a bench there, below that tor. And when you sit on that bench, I've been there several times, and each time I go there, it is the same sensation. If you sit on that bench, anybody who is planning on going to Rennes-le-Château, to sit on that bench, and if you're intuitive at all, you will notice somehow that area there, kind of like in the valley. You look down in the valley. It's like a switching station. There is lines of energy. I believe it's going all around the planet. It's an extremely powerful place. I think it perhaps is one of the reasons why Seigneur, I believe his name was pronounced Seigneur, the priest who redid the church, probably built that tor there. He had his library there. It's a very powerful place, and I could see the energy of like it was just like a switching station, like trains. You know, you have all these rails that can be changed, and trains can go from one rail to another. That's what it's like there, energetically. It goes off into other dimensions. It's an extremely powerful place.
I can't believe you brought up that bench because that my friend from England is actually a psychic healer, and I was going through some issues at the time, and she was helping me. So we were doing she was doing a healing with me, and we did it on that bench. She sat on a rock across from that bench, and I sat on that. So I can't believe you even brought that bench up. I mean, that place is a very holds a great deal to me because of how it had helped me. You know, I really feel that I was meant to meet her and her to help me on my, to exchange energies, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
I believe
that Yeshua and Mary Magdalene actually lived at Rennes Le Chateau for a period of time. And Rennes Le Chateau is a very fascinating area. If you read some of the history, I mean, this goes back to Roman times and before.
Yeah.
That was a settled area.
Yeah.
There. It has a tremendous amount of history.
I had the great privilege of meeting Henry Lincoln, and actually pointed out some of the places where the forts were. Across from Rennes Le Chateau. It actually shows you on that wall, the diagram on the wall, and shows us where some of the old churches were and where the mountains were. It was just a great, if I had to plan a visit like that, I could never have done it. This was all spur of the moment, where I booked a flight on Tuesday and I was there on Friday.
Some of the most exciting things in your life happen and they're not planned. The synchronicity of it, is it not beautiful?
Oh, it is. It's the greatest. I mean, that's the way the good Lord made me. So, I love that.
Do you have a lot of synchronistic moments like that where you don't plan something and incredible things happen?
And a lot of good things. Yeah, no, I've had that. I used to drive my ex-wife crazy because I would plan stuff, something on a Thursday and we'd be leaving Friday night and, you know, all I say is, okay, pack warm. And we would just go. But, you know, after the trip was over, she said that it was great because if we planned it, it would never worked out that way.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes, it is.
So where's your next place that you want to go, Andrew, that you think might be exciting to visit?
Well, my thoughts were Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Right now I'm dealing with some health issues, so... I'm going to wait until I start getting healthy before I really start planning on where I'm going to go next.
Well, traveling distances like that and going to different countries does take a lot of stamina. And, you know, you're probably wise in thinking that. I went on a group, a spiritual seeking group, and we were in Egypt. And it's so fascinating when you go with a group, how many people that you recognize that you have shared other lives with in the past. And
right, other energies, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you remember. I mean, I've been with people on trips, and you see one another, and you start remembering these past lifetimes. It's really, well, to me, it's so fascinating. I don't know if other people think it is, but I think it's very intriguing. And we were standing in front of the thing with the pyramid behind it, and I have to tell you, there is an energy there that is just nowhere else, and you really feel like you're home.
Oh.
You really feel like you're home. And we were on the Nile on a boat. A lot of people take that trip, you know, and if you have a connection with, or you feel that you have a connection with Egypt, you really need to take a trip on the Nile on one of those boats because it just takes you back to other lifetimes.
Yeah.
And there's so much that you can learn from the paintings that you see, the murals that they have done. You know what the Ankh is, don't you?
Yes.
I was in a place that was so fascinating because there were very large pictures that was in murals on the wall, and I was so fascinated. You know, it's a line with sort of like an oval on the top and a straight line on the bottom.
Right.
I was so fascinated by the way the people held the Ankh. Sometimes they held it by the circle on the top. And sometimes they held it by the line underneath. And when they held it by the circle on the top, they had the hand by their side. And when they held it by the line on the bottom, they had their hands in another position. And I think it was telling a great story that, you know, we consider that life everlasting, but I think they really generated energy in the Ankh, and they used it for healing and other purposes. And it was the way they held it and the direction that they pointed it that discharged the energy that they carried in the Ankh. I found it very fascinating. So
it
I do hope...
Now I have to...
I hope you get there, Andrew. It's a remarkable place. I think Egypt is such a remarkable place with so many stories. And I think if you have a desire to go there, you probably have a past life there. And why don't you, for a moment, be still and very intently just connect with your body if you can. And ask yourself, if you had a lifetime in Egypt, and the first thing that comes to your mind is what? Yes or no? First thing?
Oh, yes.
You see, you got that information from the right side of your brain. Now, try something else, if you can. Ask to see, connect again with the body if you can, being very relaxed, and ask your body to show you a vision in your third eye of who you were in Egypt, and tell me what you see.
I don't see myself. I see a statue with a beard.
Ask yourself if that statue represented you. Is that who you were when you were in Egypt?
Yes.
I would suggest that with this little thing that we went through, you could go on the internet, go in a book, and... See if you can find some pictures, some statues, because, you know, the beard was something that pharaohs in particular wore. Ah, why don't you do this? Connect with the body again and ask, were you a pharaoh? Yes or no? First answer.
No.
Okay, so you weren't a pharaoh. I'm at a law. Oh, were you a priest?
Prince.
A prince?
Prince. But I got that with the pharaoh. When I asked if I was a pharaoh, they're like, no, prince. Like I was like.
Isn't this fun?
I can't believe how clear the message is coming through, though. Usually it takes me a little while.
Only because, well, I tell you what it is, Andrew. Once people understand how easy it is to connect to consciousness, how easy it is to connect to past lifetimes, and they use the right side of the brain, it's very clear, it comes right away, and to me, this is what meditation is. You see, people meditate and they think they're being taught that you're supposed to empty the brain, well, or empty the mind. That's not true. That's not the way you meditate. You get very frustrated.
Right.
We are like a radio tower, and information comes to us and leaves us just like it's being passed through a radio tower. And if people start accepting this, it's amazing what you can do by asking questions, and one question leads to another. Now, let's ask, you're being told that you were a prince. There was the Old Kingdom and the New Kingdom. Ask if when you were a prince, were you a prince in the Old Kingdom or the New Kingdom?
No.
First answer, new. The new. Now, you see, you can ask these kind of questions, and you're directed into different places. And, I mean, from here, you could ask, like, what dynasty? And what, you could hone in this way and do a little bit of search on the dynasties in the new kingdom. And when you see some, you know, a prince that has a beard, you ask yourself if that was the person, you know, you use that name, and you could hone down to the individual that you were. Isn't this magnificent?
It is. It's unbelievable.
Because then you can start asking questions like, what did I learn from that lifetime? Matter of fact, let's try that and see if you can, because that answer might be too long for you to get right at the very beginning, but just calm yourself and ask, what important lesson did you get from that lifetime? See if you get an answer, the first thing.
At first, I thought it was building, and then I saw a whole bunch of guys very angry and marching, but not like, you know, not like warriors, just almost like a small hit crew.
Well, let's ask the question. You see, one question leads to another. This group that you saw, ask if they were the builders. Were they the crew, the building crew?
Yes.
So
yes.
then you can go. You see, many times the Pharaoh's son was responsible for a building project, and you got the word building, and then you see this group of people ask if that prince was in charge of a building project. Yes or no?
Yes. And it's funny, too, that you said that, because I saw them marching.
Uh-huh.
Almost like they were coming towards me, or maybe I was marching with them, and then they were the shape of an arrow or the top of a pyramid. If you can picture that, like...
No, I can picture it. I think it's fascinating. Why don't you ask yourself if you were involved in the building of a pyramid?
Yes.
Don't you love it?
I do.
Now, what you can do is you can sit down with a book and look at the different pyramids. Ask if you... Well, I'll give you an example. Like, there is something that's coming to mind is the Step Pyramid, Zoser's Step Pyramid. Were you involved in that? First one.
Yeah, it went back and forth and went yes and then no.
Well, what it could be is that you were involved in the project but didn't necessarily build it. You will get yes and no answers.
Right. You know, I'm thinking more like, you know, I started it but didn't finish it, or I finished it but didn't start it.
Well, then you could refine that and ask if, as that prince, did you work with part of the building of that pyramid?
And what was the name of the pyramid again?
Zoser's Step Pyramid. The Step Pyramid.
No.
Well, what you do is you look at the different pyramids, you get the names, and you go through this. Because what you can really do with this, Andrew, is... you could ask what the function of that pyramid was. You see, people believe that all of these were just burial places, but they weren't. They were built for very spiritual reasons. And so when you find the pyramid that you were involved with in the building, then you can go from there and find out what was the purpose of it. I mean, you'll have fun with this.
Oh, no, I know. This is fantastic. I always wondered what my attraction was to Egypt was, and now I'm slowly getting it.
Anytime people have an attraction, I do believe this is a truism. Anytime a person has an attraction to a different place, you can be assured that they lived there.
Right.
And when I work with people on conference calls like this, it's just fascinating what you come up with. And, of course, a lot has to do with the question that you're asking, because the higher self will, they'll give you an answer to the question that was asked. They don't say, well, it didn't happen this way, but you did this. It doesn't do that. It just answers the question that you ask. And if you're not getting a response, you got to ask the question in a different way.
Right.
So I've opened a doorway for you, Andrew. You can have a lot of fun with this now that you have now that you have some knowledge of how this works.
Wow. Carolyn, I can't thank you enough. This is fantastic.
Well, you're welcome, Andrew, and I really do believe this is what meditation is. And I thank you for coming here and working with me, because so many people out there get so frustrated with trying to meditate. They think that they're supposed to just empty their mind, and it that's not how it's done. So you might say
right,
you have
yeah,
a lesson.
Right.
Why, you've tried to meditate that way?
Absolutely, yeah. I tried to do the, you know, you put yourself in a white room and see what comes through the door. And and then I started asking myself, you know, and then I started asking myself questions, because it just takes so long to clear out that room.
This is instantaneous.
This is great.
It's when I do conference calls, anybody who's interested in that, they can go to MetatronMinutes.com, and there's information there about what we do at our conference calls. This is one thing that we work with, and it is remarkable. Anyway, Andrew, thank you so much for being here and working with me, and you can have a lot of fun with this one.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Do we have another caller on the line?
Yes, you do, Carolyn. This is Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary. I haven't spoken to you for a while, dear.
Oh, we have all been so busy. I had an experience, and I wanted to check it with you that I've never had before in this journey.
Am I going to get in trouble with this?
I hope so. there was a call put out for the closing of the oil rupture.
There's been several people who have done that, and we have worked with that. We had about 100 people on, about 120 people on the line working with that.
And what I thought was so loving from you was you acknowledged those who weren't even on the call but had already joined up in spirit. Thank you.
Yeah, because everybody, you know, there's no such thing as time.
Mm-hmm.
We can all connect.
And so when I joined up with you on that, it was the most interesting thing. The room went white. Everything disappeared. And I was at the throne of God, and that was the end of it. You know, let me be a conduit of your love. And that was, I usually I'm used to talking or something.
So you don't go to the throne of God that much, huh?
Oh, usually I go with a list of demands, dear.
Have you been to that MetatronMinutes.com website?
Yes. I go frequently.
Have you listened to the HARA, H-A-R-A protocol?
Yes, I do that at least once or twice a day.
I love it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell people, because there is a way that's very easy to get to the throne of God.
Yes, and this is so much easier. You know, it's kind of like when we did that meditation about clearing the grids. It felt like I wasn't swimming with a cement overcoat anymore. And then...
So when you were at the throne of God, what did God tell you?
Nothing. Be still and be light and send energy to Carolyn and the group.
He don't say you didn't. He didn't say anything. He did. You just told me what he said.
Oh, he said. No, I didn't say much, which is unusual for me.
Yes, it is. You got that one right.
Yes, I hope so.
Oh.
So it's just what my intuition says, that this was a chance and an opportunity to serve and be in silence and grace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll learn to be more quiet.
I doubt it.
I doubt it myself.
One of Earth's elders is not going to be quiet, are they?
No. No, we don't do that too often. It's an amazing, astounding event when it happens.
or do it too well, either.
No, you know, some of the times we just have to admit that we will not succeed at this endeavor, but we will try.
Rosemary, it was a delight chatting with you, my dear.
Thank you. And
I love you.
Much love on my part towards you, and I want to thank you for not only putting forward the healing of the earth and the healing of her bones and the plates, but for having the insight and the will and the love to ask that we demand of Source that simultaneously all of these new energy processes be revealed and that no one be harmed in the revelation of them.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing to say, and I thank you, dearest one.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye for now, sweetheart.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. And so we're coming up to, I guess about 3 minutes. And I would like to remind people who are not receiving these messages, go to www.the2012countdown.com, register at the bottom of any page. And the Father God messages in particular are people just love them. I've had people say to me that they printed them out, carry them around, give them out to people. It is so beautiful. And we also have it on YouTube. We're putting them up on YouTube. And also, you can get a free ebook from Mary Magdalene. About preparing for ascension. She calls it our cosmic dance. There is so much there, so many downloads that are available to you. So go there, look over the site. It's a remarkable site if you haven't been there, and there is so much information. Sign up for the practically daily we send out messages to people. You will just love it. And until next Sunday, or rather Saturday, I kind of missed a day. This is Carolyn Evers with The Messenger, and we'll talk to you then.